The Republic Broadcasting Network.
Everybody, Steve Starrs back again with you, sitting in for Steve Elkins tonight, who is doing a kind of a Halloween thing that he has to do traditionally. And I am here, and I'm telling you, this is the scariest Halloween. I think if we still got Dave holding, Dave, let me just say one thing real quick, and I've got some other calls, I've got a bunch of them lining up here. But check the Kristen Drosten, Drosten Corman report, and look at that. As for the specifics of the primers and how they created all this, there's a lot of controversy going on right now. And as I've said before, you can't get a pure sample from CDC or NIH. They don't have one. These things do reproduce and mutate at a very fast speed, by the way. And another thing you ought to have to kind of consider here is that,
what reproduces at a fast speed? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm saying, what I understand,
the genetic sequences, you're saying viruses. What were you saying?
Dave Rasnick says most of these coronaviruses, we've been studying them for many years, as you know. They can reproduce in something like 4,000 different mutants in a matter of hours, or mutations, or what I'm saying is different varieties and different variants.
Oh, yes, sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're very, very fast in terms of reproducing themselves. They're like snowflakes, is what he said. There's probably no two that are the same. But the question is, do we have one with enough of these primers, as you've talked about, the specifics of that DNA sequence to actually identify something that is characteristic enough to categorize it as something we can test? And that's something that's a whole topic to get into. I could bring on some great people if I were doing a show or something like that. I would get the experts that would really be able to talk to you in a very civil tone, too, with the very good questions that you're asking, and maybe help you understand a little better than me as well, but that's about as good as I could do at the moment.
Yeah, well, all I can say is that if the created virus doesn't exist, then we cannot hold Fauci responsible for creating the virus along with Ralph Baric and Wuhan and all the other people involved, right? So that's rather interesting, but I think that the non-isolation issue, I wish Dr. Fleming would explain to us why that isn't important. And I can imagine that if I was a CDC and I patented this bioweapon, I don't want to give it up by level 4 bioweapon out. There's reasons why they may not have given samples, or maybe they're just playing a game to confuse us all and make us argue. And, you know, and I'm not, I don't feel like arguing anymore. There's different ideas. That's fine.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah. We sure appreciate it, Dave. Thank you. Yeah, we could get into that a little bit more, and I think that's a topic all in itself, to be really honest with you. But let's move on a little bit. I think Pat in Texas has been holding for a while, and I'm sorry that I've delayed a little bit getting to you folks. But Pat, are you there still? Maybe. I mean, I wouldn't blame her if she's out trick-or-treating by now. Hello? Or he. Hello. There.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
Well, first of all, about this, the case about Biden being over there in Italy and giving the Pope a coin. Yeah. And saying it's a Black American baseball player. It's yeah, okay, there is one for Jackie Robinson. And he wasn't just a civil rights breaker, he was homosexual. And the reason he gave it to the Pope was because the Pope is, he's nowhere near a Christian. He told all of the priests that he's not going to judge them on being homosexual. And he's already said there is no devil. And he is a Jesuit. Yes, yes, he is, first Jesuit Pope. But the point is that when you start, when the Constitution was formed, the good Baptist would not let him put in the word of tolerance because they knew what it would lead to. You can't tolerate what is against God. And the Constitution is definitely made by Christian men, I mean, the Declaration of Independence, for references to God.
It was made for a Christian nation. You know, it really wasn't made for a nation that was philosophically based on just an open-ended discussion, though there were a lot of deists and a lot of people who had some concerns about it as well. I think it was John Adams and even Washington said that the Constitution, our government, was designed for a nation that would hold to some truths that they believed were self-evident.
Well, that might have been the fact that Washington was a Mason.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't know.
Yes, he was. He actually wrote some letters about the Illuminized Freemason, because you remember what happened at that time was a fellow by the name of Adam Weishaupt created what he called the Bavarian Illuminati. And what he did was he actually congealed what were at that time the banned Jesuits. The Jesuits had been banned by Clement the 14th in 1773. They were unoperational. They had secluded themselves to places like Malta and other places that they were hiding, and also, Corsica, the island right off the coast there where Napoleon's family was from. By the way, Napoleon's father was a liaison to the Vatican. And so what had happened then was he converged the Black nobility, the Freemasons, the Sabbatean Labor Party, or the Sabbatean cult among Jews who had the connections to the Rothschilds, and the Jesuits together at that time. And so that's what became Illuminized Freemasonry. And George Washington referred to it as Illuminized Freemasonry. And he said, I have not been very active in the lodges. And he actually wrote letters about it at that time. You can look at some of them up. I haven't done enough research to really spout too much about it, but you could actually see Washington's letters concerning Illuminized Freemasonry. And we did have an anti-Freemason party in this country in the early 1800s. William Seward belonged to it. William Seward was a candidate with the anti-Freemason party. And so the convergence of the Freemasons. Now, what Leo Zagami says about that coin was he says that is a Freemason coin that was handed to the Pope. I don't know. I didn't see the coin.
Why did he say it had to do with a Black baseball player?
I don't think he did. I think he said it was a Freemason coin. You mean Leo Zagami or
a fellow named
Biden?
Mark from Georgia called. And said that he had researched that, and that's what he was saying. He wasn't calling the Pope acted like he was a Black baseball player.
No. I think he said something really stupid, too. He said something to the effect of, I will give you this coin, and if I come back again, if you don't have it, you will buy the drinks. You know, and you say this to the kind of thing that Joe Biden says to the Pope, right? Yeah.
There is a coin with Jackie Robinson on it, and it's supposed to be a collector's item, whatever.
I can't see the coin, so I wouldn't be able to tell you one way or the other. But, you know, that's what I'd heard. It was actually a Freemason coin. If you look at the picture of the Pope shaking Nancy Pelosi's hand, you'll see a Freemason handshake there between the two of them. They're both Catholics.
I know. Yeah. So is Biden, of course.
All right, hey Pat, I got to move on. I got a lot of calls piling up here, but I appreciate it. Let's see if we can get to Andy. I think he's in Texas, and we'll try to get him up. Andy, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am here. Hey, you got a really good radio voice, sir. I really appreciate you sitting in for Steve. Let's take a look at Australia, okay, before they didn't give their police officers, or I guess you could call them thugs, they didn't give them the jab. They didn't give their medical people the jab. They didn't give anybody the jab before they started beating up their patrons. So all of a sudden up here in America, we're trying to mandate a jab to get rid of all of these so-called people that would perhaps be the enforcers of these new draconian laws that are being dropped down or being, you know, kind of thrown out there and whatnot. I'm just curious. I mean, what's your thoughts on who's actually going to enforce these laws? If they are, I mean, they're Nixon or military too with the vax. So.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I know two young men who enlisted in the Marine Corps. My dad was a captain in the Marine Corps. He trained troops in Korea. So he didn't have to go over there, but he was in the South Pacific in World War II. He hit all the islands after everything happened. Luckily, he stayed out. My grandmother kept him out of the service. He was going to Texas A&M at that time. She said, don't get in. She kept him out until 43. And had he gone in earlier, he'd have been at places like Iwo and Guadalcanal and some of those other locations. But he hit those places later. He was at Hiroshima after the bomb went off. And then he came back and wanted to join the CIA. Glad he didn't get into it, thank God. He spoke Spanish as a second language, and he was in the oil business. You know where he would have ended up. So, but anyway, I don't want to get into that kind of history, only for the purpose of saying that as we look back at all of these things, as these events, as you were talking about, we're now starting to see some of the different difficulties and problems of things that happened. The Jesuits smuggled something like 25,000 SS people out of Germany. And where did they go? Some came to the United States, mostly to Argentina, which is, by the way, where the Pope is from, Argentina. You know, so we had all these Nazis who converged in various places. You know about Wernher von Braun and a lot of these other people. So we've had this convergence with the Masons and the Jesuits and the Sabbatean Labor Party Jews who run the banking cartels. And we've also had other groups, theosophy, you know, these technocrats. Look at people like Gates and these others who are into eugenics and science and various groups. So that's basically what's created this cabal. It's a multi-headed monster, is what, a multi-headed beast, if you like. Anyway, I'm sorry, Andy. Did I get off track? What was your question again? I was trying to get to something and got lost.
No. That was fine. But okay, let's be a little more specific then. Who do you think's going to enforce these draconian laws that they're going to be putting out on it?
Yes, I meant to get to that point. That's exactly it. And I'm going to play a clip from Sheriff Mack at the very end. And we were talking about constitutional sheriffs. And as I mentioned, on the webpage, if you go to the RBN broadcast, republicbroadcasting.org, there is a graphic up there that shows you all the red real estate in the United States of America. And now Sheriff Mack is putting together a group of constitutional sheriffs, people who will uphold the Constitution. He's been all the way to the Supreme Court to fight this issue as to how much authority the sheriff, the local sheriff, has to protect the people in his jurisdiction, and he won the case. So the reality is what you're seeing is, who is going to enforce these things? Well, these sheriffs can say, we're not going to enforce them. As a matter of fact, we may repel them, is what these constitutional sheriffs are starting to say. We're going to have a big meeting tomorrow in Larimer County, not far from where I am in Weld County in Colorado, where they're going to try to put in a vaccine passport system and more of this stuff. And Del Bigtree and Michelle Malkin and a lot of people are showing up to this thing. It's going to be a really big meeting. I was planning on possibly going over there myself, and they're going to take matters to task with what's happening in Larimer County right now. So I guess my answer to your question is, who is going to enforce them? I think the question might be better, who is going to stop them from trying to enforce them? And it's got to be us, I guess. Isn't that what you would think?
Yep, right on time, boss. Get to the other callers. I appreciate you, sir.
Hey, we do appreciate it, man. Thank you for holding. All right. Yeah, that's been good. We've had some great calls. Let's see who's up next. I think it's Bob in Utah, if we can get him in right now.
Hi. You mentioned the primers a little while ago.
Right. Yeah, go ahead.
That guy had nothing to say about the primers, did he?
Well, he was. I think he was talking about the original, what should be the specific identification tags on this virus, right?
He doesn't know what the primers are, and he doesn't know who Christian Drosten is. I assume you probably do.
Yeah, you do. Okay. Now, that's what I mentioned. I think you heard me mention that name twice, and you go ahead and tell us about the primers and Christian Drosten, because I think you know what you're talking about here, Bob. Go ahead and lay it on us again.
Okay, well, I'm going to make an analogy. When you do a Google search and you use quotation marks, you have to get an exact match, right?
Right.
So the primers are a sequence of nucleic acid, which is RNA or DNA, 20 bases long, which is very short. The coronavirus is 30,000 bases long.
Right. Yeah.
And so you have to match those primers, and if when they're amplified, then you get a positive result on your PCR test, after a certain number of cycles, depending on how many matches you get, okay? So the whole David Martin understands the whole thing. So does Dr. Wolfgang Wodarg. The PCR test is completely malleable depending on how you choose the primers. Yeah. They can get any results they want just by changing one letter of the primers.
It's not specific enough is what you're saying. And that's the question also is the reverse transcription process before the primers are even created to some extent. That is also kind of a hairy issue that is kind of over my head. Maybe you understand more about it, but that is the question about the primers. And one of the reasons why the Drosten-Corman papers are under pressure to be recalled about the specificity of that identification. Isn't that correct?
Yes, reverse transcription is simply changing RNA into complementary DNA, small c, capital DNA. And there are errors in that, which makes it harder to sequence RNA viruses than DNA viruses. So that's true. It does add to the errors. There are a number of errors all along the process. But the primers... there are 200 different PCR tests. People are making them. Anyone can do it. There, you can put list of companies in a search engine making PCR immunoassay into a search engine. You'll find there are over 200. So there's no standard. It's just a Wild West show, and that's what they wanted: just random results to make a big mess of things.
Yeah, you know, a person who would agree with you about this is a fellow that I had a chance to interview several times but never got a chance to get a camera in front of him. I talked to him on the phone. His name was Dr. Kerry Mullis. And, you know, he would say, you know, if you're going to look for something, you can find any molecule you want using PCR if you amplify it enough. I mean, you can create what you're looking for with my test. And he was one of the first people I know to really refute the whole viral load possibilities with HIV/AIDS many years ago. Unfortunately, he's not around anymore. But, hey, if you want to hold on, we'll ask maybe one more question after this break. Bob, I got some more calls coming in. But we'll be right back.
Yeah,
right after
great, thanks.
Okay. All right. Huh? Be right back, folks. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Creepy stuff, ladies and gentlemen, on Halloween. And we're talking about these things that you can't see, and they're not ghosts. They're these viruses, because you can't even see them with a regular light microscope. You have to use an electronic microscope to see them. Yes, coronavirus has been around for a long time. And Bob, I want to get back to you. We're going to play a clip pretty quick here. I'll just tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. I call myself C+ biology student Steve, okay? I'm not a complete dummy, as you can tell, but, you know, I like to think that I can somehow try to translate this stuff. If I can get it, you can too. Some of this is really complicated, and you can tell from the callers we've had, Dave all down through with Bob, you know, and now we you know, have people that are talking about these things concerning primers, concerning PCR tests, the threshold cycle. I interviewed David Crow right before he passed away. We lost a really great man, David Crow, who was the head of Rethinking AIDS, who was an expert in this area, who I'd love to get on again, but we lost him. And just like Carrie Mullis and some of these other great people. But we talked about the cycles of PCR testing back in April of 2020, telling people anything above the 35 exceeded the Mikey guidelines. You can't amplify this test that high because you just get noise. It's like turning up a hearing aid so loud, all you hear is crackles and sounds. Think you're hearing people's voices. That's what happens with this test when you push it that hard. Now they've moved it way back. But Bob, you know, I think you were had something more to say. I want to get back to you real quick here, and let's pick it up where we left off.
What happened to David Crowe?
David passed away. He had very fast-moving pancreatic cancer, and it wasn't about maybe 60 days after we interviewed that we lost him. And I had just gotten to know him pretty well, and I really am still hurting for his loss. Another great guy.
Okay, well, there's a fantastic video with David Crowe and David Raskin, who was a friend of Kerry Mulliss's. It's an hour long, and I would highly recommend anybody watch that because they go into some detail about this. We can talk about sequencing another time. Let's stick to PCR. So you're talking about the cycle threshold. Absolutely. Over 30 cycles, actually it's 34. Over 34 cycles, there's a zero chance of replicable virus in a sample. But the industry standard worldwide for the World Health Organization is 40 cycles declared a positive. So that's a fraud right there.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. They had it way out of kilter. They were going above 40 cycles. And as you pointed out, you know, you get above 34 cycles and you can see the way this thing is on just on a map. These samples and the controls fan out just like the jets, you know, the Blue Angels would when they're all together and then go out in a different distance. And you can see the controls and then they fan together again at the top and you can see it just becomes noise. You cannot get anything above that threshold. Kerry Mulliss pointed this out many years ago. David Rasnick, I think, is who you're talking about, a good friend of mine.
Rasnick.
Right. I know David very well. He's a good friend of mine. And also, these are the kinds of people I would get on. You know, if we were going to be talking this kind of stuff, I would bring my top people in who really know this stuff. Like I said, I'm just C-plus biology student Steve here compared to the microbiological expertise that they have and can tell you about the primers, can tell you about the sequences. Now, you mentioned, what was it, 30,000? There are 30,000 genetic connections inside just one coronavirus, something like that.
Right. They're called nucleotides or you could say bases. It's a steps in the genetic sequence.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly it. And as I mentioned before, you know, remdesivir was a nucleotide analog. All it did was block the nucleotides. It was just a dummy copy of one of those things. It was a poison. Now they're noticing that most of those people were dying. They were treating these people because they needed it. They needed dead bodies. This is the way Fauci operates. He creates these germ scares and then creates toxic medications like AZT, the protease inhibitors, and all these other things that they've done. This is exactly what they've done with COVID. 85% of these patients should have survived had they been using HCQ, ivermectin, some of these other things, quercetin that Dr. Zelenko and others have brought out. You know, I mean, this is a crime. We have killed more people with this than troops that died in World War II, ladies and gentlemen, with bad treatment. That's how bad this is. And now they're coming after your kids, and they're trying to punch them with this toxic stuff. We could get into that. You got another comment real quick. We're running out of time. I got some more calls to get to.
Right. I'll go back another time. The one thing, my agenda is quite simple. I want people to understand there was no pandemic, okay? They didn't plan a pandemic. They planned to fake a pandemic so that they could move the pharmaceutical vaccine industry into this digital world where they don't need a virus to manufacture a vaccine in chicken eggs. They just have it in a computer, and they can send it from one across the world and get the code and then make an mRNA vaccine. So you see, not only don't they need a vaccine to manufacture or a virus to manufacture the vaccine, the virus doesn't actually even have to be real. Now, SARS sequence may or not be real, but it
We're
doesn't matter whether
here,
it is
buddy.
Or not because they don't need it to make right. these mRNA treatments, let's call them. And with that, I'll let you go. I really appreciate
Thanks a lot,
it.
Bob. Yeah,
if you could have David Rasnick on, I'd be thrilled. Jesus.
Yeah, we'd love to have him. We can get him on. Hey, we'll be right back. We've got some more messages. You know, pay the bills, and we will continue. Stay with us.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Wow. Freaky music. Freaky music. Thanks to our producer Sam tonight. That's some great stuff, you know. And I know it's kind of a haunting evening. We were talking about these viruses and all that stuff that you've heard a lot about it. But friends, these are scary times. I mean, just like we were talking with Bob, and he was saying that these things have been created by Fauci, germ scares. And then he has toxic cures. And this was always about the vaccine. It was always about controlling you. And they're punching you up with a lot of this graphene oxide that's going to react with 5G. So you're going to be, they're putting an electronic dog collar around you is what they're doing. That's what the real plan is. It's about control. You know, I know Tom's been hanging for a while in Utah. I think, Tom, are you still there? We'll bring you up real quick.
I'm here.
Good, good. What's on your mind?
Just wanted to register sympathy for Donald Trump. In 2009, 10, and 11, each of those winters, I spent 2 months in D.C. exposing the poisoning, the genocide, the infanticide that I have exposed in the webpage gassingamerica.com, a.k.a. poisoningthepoor.com. I went to every single senator, every single representative, every agency that had anything to do with the issue. And I'll tell you one thing I realized. For every six people that enter into those offices to lobby, one person represents legitimate issues, or, you know, the public's issues. Two represent military, and three more represent the medical pharmaceutical complex. So I can understand where Donald Trump was given the Jesse Ventura treatment, where they told him what he could do and not do. And so the drive was to create the vaccines, and Bob is right. By the way, Bob, would you please call me? Go to that website and give me a call. We live neighbors almost.
Okay.
But the whole drive is infanticide, quite frankly. When they turn off the gas in the United States, as they will do this winter, who will be the first ones to die? It'll be the infants, the children, because their body mass will not tolerate the cold. These families are going to have to suffer when they cannot afford gas, or there is no gas to burn, or there is no oil to burn in their furnace, or they don't have money to pay for that oil. The whole drive is child sacrifice.
Yeah,
that's how I see it.
And look at the attack that they've been having on pregnant women, according with these spike proteins. Now, the spike protein is a little different than the virus. The spike protein is just a genetic protein that can actually be reproduced in a lab. That's a very real thing. I mean, it's just a molecular bit of what you might call living material. It's not alive. And from what I understand, some of these vaccines, now I don't know, here's the big problem. We got four different companies making these vaccines. Now, as Dr. Fleming has pointed out, there are contaminants in there. Some people have seen other things, parasitics, even what look to be nanoparticles and stuff like that. I would not say that you can look at even five samples of these vaccines and come up with an ability to understand what's in them, because nobody really knows. Look, at they're not printing anything on these package inserts. It's astounding that people would go in there, roll up their sleeves, and take something that is untested and pressure other people to do it. And we know there are some problems. Now, this spike protein, according to a clip that I was going to play, it was a little long. You ought to look at this. It's Dr. Nathan Thompson, who does an immune assay of a patient. And what he says is happening is the spike protein itself is attacking the CD4 T cells. These are the same T cells that AIDS patients were losing. They coordinate immunity. They're kind of like infection detectives. Well, they're wearing all this spike protein that binds to the membrane, just like ornaments on a Christmas tree. And so the CD8s, which are like the sniper cells, are out to kill cells that are infected or problematic, see these CD4s with all this spike protein and start killing them. This starts an immune system breakdown in these patients, and that's why they're losing as much as 5% of their immunity every week. Because not because of ADE, but because the CD8s are actually doing their job, but they're confused by all this extraneous spike protein. This is one really good observation I think somebody has noticed, and we're already starting to see that with these people who've taken the vaccine who are now filling up the hospitals. They're now the ones susceptible to what they call the Delta variant. Who knows whether there's Delta variants or whether these are the effects of the vaccine? I think it's probably the latter. But, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I was just going to point out there's another part of this that's all about the treatment that is killing patients. Fauci does this. He did this with AZT. Millions of people died around the world when he gave that toxic medication, which was too toxic as a chemotherapy even for leukemia. They gave that to AIDS patients. It slowly killed them because it destroyed their immune system by destroying their T cells. It destroyed the white blood cells. That's what it was designed to do. You know. But anyhow, go ahead, buddy. Another comment?
Well, in simple, simple terms, I spent half my life in the lab, the other half teaching it. In simple terms, it's all designed to turn your body against itself. How does it do that? When you incur or infuse tissues like you, but not you, your body wants to reject it, just like a heart transplant or a kidney or a liver transplant, whatever. Mm-hmm. And these antigens that are now incorporated, well, they've always been incorporated in the vaccine, but not quite at the same concentration as this last. By the way, do you know how a vaccine is created? It's based upon slaughterhouse waste. It's the fat, flesh, and blood of a beast. And if we transfuse blood into you that's not your exact type, what happens to your blood flow?
Yeah, it's going to be rejection, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like transplanting an organ that doesn't fit. Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly. We learned that right away, that the body had that characteristic. Right. Anything that is like it, but not it. By the way, the answer to surviving this is in chapter 2 of the book of Revelation. Nobody ever refers to it. It's chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 20. And that is the incursion of a material that is like you, but not you. And that's the design of these vaccines, especially this one. You know, the first vaccines are like a tincture. This one is the full slug shot.
Wow.
And it's massive infusion of tissue like you, but not you. And that turns your body against itself. And that way they can say, uh-oh, this is just an autoimmune reaction.
Autoimmune. That's what Dr. Thompson said when he looked at these assays from the immune panel that he ran. He said, this is creating an autoimmune reaction is what it's doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, I better run, buddy. I've got some more calls. I want to try to get them in, but I do appreciate it. I wish we had more time for all of you guys that have been calling tonight. Some great ones. But I do appreciate it, Tom. And you hope you hook up with Bob and you guys can get on the same page and we'll maybe some other time we'll be able to do something with it. Appreciate it. Let's see if we can go to James in Vancouver real quick here. James?
Good evening.
Yes, hey, how are you doing, James? How are things up in Vancouver?
Not too bad, sir. Yeah, it's very interesting. Why do you think it is that we conveniently lose some of our best scientists just when we need them the most?
Right. Mm-hmm. I know. Kerry Mullis was too young, I thought. You know, I read his obituary. Nobody knew who he was. Dr. Kerry Mullis received the Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 1993 for inventing PCR. He's always said that he wanted to chase Fauci down and rough him up, you know, and he would have done it, too. You know, I mean, go ahead, though. Yeah.
Well, no, I work in science myself, and one of the things I like to do is keep a low profile. If you look through the history of science, for example, the viruses, the first virus that was ever isolated properly was the tobacco mosaic virus, which really didn't have a lot to do with human beings, but it was an important crop. And so therefore the problem was solved because people were losing money.
Yep.
All right. Now, I believe, there was a Nobel Prize awarded for that. An American won it, but I think the work was also done at the same time in Germany, but the Germans were not, they didn't get any credit for that for reasons. And so if you look back, we've lost a lot of good scientists, and I think it's strange that we lost them when they could have found certain cures that were in existence, but they were not offered to them. And
excellent.
You will find that most. Yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we've lost too many good people, but you know, they've left a legacy for us, and all we need to do is go back and look at this. And again, we've been through so many of these things before. Fauci's been up to these things for 37 years now. I mean, he should have been thrown out. And you know, Donald Trump, and I'm not, again, I understand. I'm trying to be sympathetic to the difficulty he's had, but you know, he should have known going in. You know, I know there were people who would. We said it seven times at least on before he was elected on RBN that he needed to get rid of Fauci immediately. Just get his resignation, get him out of there. And you know, the last thing I heard Trump say was something to the effect of, "Well, somebody asked him, well, why did you keep Fauci around?" He says, "Well, he's been around for so long." You know, I mean, that was what Trump says. Come on, so is old Scratch the devil. You know, come on. I hope Fauci needs to face the kind of prosecution that the Nuremberg trials were all about. And Dr. Zelenko. Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this: that Dr. Zelenko had gone before the rabbinical court in Israel. Now, he's a Jew, a Hasidic Jew, and he's telling them, you are poisoning the people. You're poisoning Israelis. I think something like 90% of Israelis have taken this vaccine, and they have the highest numbers of these people with the breakthrough cases right now. What does that tell us? You know, I mean, who are these maniacs that are in charge of all this? Why aren't they looking at the Nuremberg codes? And this thing is in violation of all 10 of them.
Yes.
Anyway, I want to give you some more time. Go ahead.
Last thing, I have a very good friend who was in the Hitler Youth. He's 93 years old now, and he contends, and I can see this a little better now, that the top Nazis were directly connected to the Vatican, the Jesuits in the Vatican, that kind of thing.
That's why you see Biden and Hank, shaking hands with the Pope, Pelosi, all these people in Rome right now. I mean, this is a creepy time, ladies and gentlemen, because the last time I remember when Abbas from the PLO got together with Perez and they went to the Vatican to pray for peace. And what happened later? Yep. All hell broke out in Gaza.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You think that God didn't answer that prayer, or they were planning something else. I mean, this is what I'm saying about this creepy meeting, what's going on with this Halloween, why it's worse than we've ever seen anything before. They're planning some very, very big things. We've got to stop them. Hey, I better run, buddy, or I'm not going to be able to get some more. James, it's really good to hear from you, though. I wish we could talk some more. But thanks for the call. Let's see if we can get to, I think it's Loyola in Arizona.
It's Lloyd.
Oh, Lloyd. Okay, I should have said
Lloyd Christmas.
That's right. I should have put my glasses on, Lloyd. I'm sorry. Thank you for calling.
It's all good. Yeah. I just wanted to put all the blame on Trump because this is ludicrous. You guys are not you guys, but some are apologizing for Trump when, wow. I mean, so he didn't know, or he did know, that Fauci was a criminal, was just a criminal scumbag. Occultist. But if he didn't know, then he isn't who people say he is, who is a freedom fighter. Then he isn't. And if the CIA and the secret government, which is completely illegal, if they sat him down like they did, quote unquote Jesse Ventura, then he's a coward. So either way, Trump is most of the problem here, because he captured the hearts and minds of most of the so-called conservatives or people who are liberty-minded. I know them. They're my friends. They're everybody I know is a conservative that voted for Trump. And he just captured their minds by faking like he was a conservative, which we know he wasn't. We know that he wasn't by his actions, not by his words. His words, maybe, but we don't care. It's his actions, and his actions kept Fauci. And whether he knew or didn't know, or whether he's scared to die because the CIA or the FBI threatened him, well, then he's just a coward. I mean, I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid of the government. If I was not afraid of the government, I would stop paying federal income tax. But no, I'm afraid. But I'm upfront about it.
Sure.
Everybody is. Yeah, everybody.
But you don't go into that office with a plan to negotiate and make deals. You better go into that office to do business. I mean, look at the presidents. We've had 8 presidents die in office, and I think 6 of them were assassinated. I believe that it's very likely that Harrison and Taylor were poisoned, possibly by the Jesuits.
Yeah.
We know that Lincoln was shot. We know that Garfield. We know McKinley. We know JFK. Teddy Roosevelt was shot in the chest and sat up on the podium and waited and got up and talked with a bullet hole in his chest. And it was a very short statement.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Read it up. It's funny. And he said, I've only got a few things to say. I'm going to say this, and now I got to go to the hospital because I've been shot in the chest and I'm bleeding. That's Teddy.
Holy crap. Well, Hoover was good, too. Hoover, I believe they took out as well. And who was there before Hoover? What's his name?
Harding. Are you thinking of Harding?
Harding.
Yeah.
Harding was excellent. I think they got rid of him, too, because he died in office as well, I believe.
There are questions about FDR that are still not answered to this day. But, we've seen this happen. This is not a job for people. Now, I do believe that Trump was provoked and threatened. I think they not just threatened
right.
him.
Right, he's a scumbag. He's afraid. He shouldn't have been in there. And he's not the liberty fighter that everybody says he was, right? That means he's just like the rest of us, a coward. He's a coward like the rest of us. There's nothing special about him. He kept all these people in because he was afraid.
Yeah, he should have. You know what? Right? When Jeff Sessions recused himself, he should have said, "Jeff, great idea. Great idea. Listen, there are statues and bridges you need to dedicate. I'll just put somebody like Matt Whitaker in behind you, and they can do all the real work while you go around and shake hands. Beautiful idea. But we got to investigate the investigators." And we should have said, "Oh, Robert Mueller, you mean Uranium One? Robert Mueller, you mean FBI head 9/11? Robert Mueller?
Party,
I mean,
Communist Party, Robert Mueller."
Yeah, I mean, he had all the information he needed on Mueller to embarrass him, and he went on with this. Yeah, see, what Trump didn't do was he never put the pieces in place to actually have the power structure that he should have used. He could have started.
No, because he didn't want to. Because he did not want to. Because he is a part of the same cabal that Bill Gates is a part of. He's just worse because he fronts as a conservative.
I'm not trying to put him down because I'd like to see him grow up and be a man, but the first thing he needs to do is apologize to the nation for
what he's doing. It's too late. He had his chance. Trump had his chance. And we see that he's a Kabbalist and that he's a liberal, you know, meaning that not, you know, they're not a classical liberal, but of course he's a leftist is what he wants. He wants control, government control. Otherwise, he would never have printed $7 trillion and just handed it out to the people. He would never even have that. That would have stopped right there. He would have gotten control of the Federal Reserve and ended it.
Yeah, you know, he could have done that, too.
Because he's a communist.
You know, he could have done that. You're absolutely
is the problem.
Right. Because look at the situation. Could've. We had voted the people. We, the people, had pressured the Congress to pass the Audit the Fed bill 3 times.
That's right.
Three times.
That's right.
And it got a bigger majority every time. Now, Trump is supposed to be the figurative head of the Federal Reserve. All he needed to say, well, you know, the Senate has balked on this, but I'm theoretically the head of the Federal Reserve, and I think it's time for an audit. I mean, he would have been able to say
he's
to the Congress.
Of it.
The Congress has passed it 3 times, you know? Yeah.
And of course, well, his hands were tied. They would have killed him. Yeah. Well, that means that he's compromised. That means that Trump has never been good. He's no good. And he's far, far, far worse than Biden ever will be because Biden is open. He's a naked communist. Trump has a mask on.
I have to say, I have to disagree there. Biden is. See, here's the problem with Biden. You had 4 reasons why he should have never been president before the election, and they were high crimes and misdemeanors, bribery, treason, and then there was Amendment 25, tailor-made for Joe Biden. Then there's the election. So the problem with this guy is that, you know, he is a complete flunky. And I even wrote to my congressman, who was conservative on the Judicial Committee, Ken Buck, and I said, you cannot vet this man. It's like saying, look, Jeffrey Dahmer committed all these crimes, but he got elected president, so we that's okay. No! You have to hold this man accountable.
Yeah.
And then Republicans.
I know, but he's not faking it. Is anyone confused that Joe Biden is somehow for liberty? I don't think anyone is. Do conservatives think that? That he's for liberty? Because people think that about Trump.
Right.
That's dangerous. That's completely dangerous.
I'm not for Trump 2024 for this reason. He let us down. You know, I'd like to see him grow up and become and even come back but admit that he was wrong, and I don't think he'll ever do it. You know, that's the big problem.
Oh, I mean, I still think Trump's better than anyone else out there. I'm just saying that there isn't anyone out there. We're all cowards. Those that are in power are cowards, just like the people. You know, we continue to keep paying the income tax that's illegal. You know, I understand it. I'm just saying, let's not deify this guy. And I hear it all over the place, even from that gentleman from Utah who's just very, very smart man. He still says, here's an excuse for Trump. Come on. Come on, people.
Well,
was just like the rest of them.
Sure. Understand, you don't get into this job. You know, Lincoln swore that he was going to uphold the Constitution. He said, I'd rather die on this spot. When he raised the flag on on Washington's birthday coming into Washington, he was getting assassination attempts. What I think happened with Trump, I think Fauci and these guys came to him and said, look, if you don't go along with us, we're going to release all kinds of germs all over across the country. It wasn't just his own personal stuff. You know, there's an
So Trump was protecting the people. Oh, yeah. There's no way, brother. There's no way. You know what they said? Was they said, hey, Trump, you know, high five, secret handshake. Yeah, so you're in the club, right? Yep, always have been. That's what Trump said. Always have been.
Yeah, well, you know, you may be
right. I mean,
right.
to think that he is somehow benevolent. It is insane because of all the things that he did that were leftist. He's a lefty, right. A liberal, right. Communist. Print money.
Lloyd, hang on just a minute. I'm going to play a clip, though, because listen to this. Okay. I think there's some insight into this. Let's play that clip right now. This was Sheriff Mack. He's got something to say about this.
Uh-huh.
Let's listen to this real quickly.
I'm here to tell you today that almost every single thing you've probably ever heard about the Constitution before today was wrong.
We're fighting an organized, well-funded, well-trained, and battle-hardened enemy. And my job is to protect from government overreach. Your job is to protect from government overreach.
We're not the mask police. You know, don't call us up if you want us to come and remove somebody because they're wearing a mask. It's not going to happen.
This is what I'm talking about. Start educating yourself and start educating your public.
I'm not proud at all of the rhetoric that comes out of our state and the rights that have been taken away from the people back in our state. But I can tell you this, sheriffs from across the country is what gives me strength to make the stand that I have.
Who but a sheriff should have said no? That law will not be enforced on my watch.
As of now, we are set to go in front of the Nevada Supreme Court in January. But regardless of the outcome, I will not waver. We as sheriffs cannot waver. Our oath is the foundation of what we do for the people we serve. Once we waver from that, the house we've built as American law enforcement will crumble to nothing.
I proudly consider myself constitutional sheriff. And I encourage those of you who are not constitutional sheriffs, please become one.
I will not be afraid. I will not be intimidated by these domestic terrorists who want to destroy our country.
I had a sheriff just 2 weeks ago whose citizens came and said, you know what he told us when we told him we were being abused by the COVID-19 executive orders? He told us to get a good lawyer. We are not a lawyer referral service, especially when you can stop the injustice. We're not doing that here. Why? Well, that's pretty easy, because we believe in freedom.
But what did Jefferson say the purpose of civil government was? To protect God-given rights. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. So the purpose of government...
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great show. I'm glad we got all together. We got to let it go now. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs that Sheriff Mack is organizing. You can find them at csopa.org. You don't want to, again, thank Sam, our producer, everybody here. Steve will, you know, Steve, my good buddy, will be back to talk about what he's been doing. It's been a great show. Thank you to all the callers. Wish we had some more time. Thanks to everybody here. And just keep in it. We're going to fight. Hey, the Monster Mash. Let's Monster Mash some of these freaks that are stealing our rights. What do you say? All right. Signing off, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Starrs. Have a good one.
He did the Monster Mash. The Monster Mash. It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the Monster Mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my...
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.